three real famous guys in the Bible, you know, and the in-between guy's name is
Misha. Misha, yeah, yeah. I read about them in Daniel 1:8. Look in chapter 1:7, babe, and then you can go get the name.
They got treated harsh by the king of the world when they didn't gold statue. They got in a crisis and just about perished from burning up. Hey King, your joke's not funny.
Meshach was an Israelite faced with me, Nebuchadnezzar.
It's just amazing. It's amazing how many different sounds they can imitate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just hilarious.
You know what? All I can picture is VeggieTales singing this song.
Yeah, that would be funny.
I could just see the VeggieTales, you know. I could see the asparagus. Do it, please, singing this part. That's funny.
It'd be funny. Well, there you have it. That's apologetics. This is sort of apologetics week, I guess. We've sort of been stuck on them, and that's okay. Good stuff there. And today we're going to kind of mix the show up. It's going to be a lot of fun things, I think, I hope.
is it going to be fun?
We're going to try to make it fun.
Okay, let's make it fun.
Are you in a fun mood?
Fun.
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Welcome to your Wednesday.
Hump day.
Glad you could share it with me.
Rolling down the freeway with a rag top down. I got to shuffle on the radio with rat face. And I got two blind squirrels in the morning. Two blind squirrels at night. Oh yeah, two blind squirrels in the morning. Radio on demand, it's all right.
All right, and today we're going to talk about bitterness. Yuck. And we're going to talk about the others. We're going to talk about bitterness. And then we're going to talk about
self-worth.
Yeah, we're going to re-hit self-worth, and we're going to be close.
I went through talking to Brian.
So rude when he sings over me like that.
Because you take too long. You gotta pick it up.
I hear that complaint about a lot of things I do.
Pick it up.
But I don't do things slowly. It's not that. It's just that I get distracted, so it takes me forever to do things.
Mm-hmm. Is that what your dad?
Yes.
Is that what you tell your dad all the time?
No, that's what my dad used to tell me.
Yeah, that you get distracted?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Go milk, you know, go get the cows from the back of the pasture. Don't do anything else. Don't go fishing. Don't throw rocks across the water. Don't fix any gates. Just go get the cows and bring them up. That's all you got to do.
He actually went through the list.
2 hours
what you
later.
Do.
2 hours later. Where are you? You know, back then there was no cell phones, or those little cool walkie talkies.
A lot less distractions
now,
back then. And you still got distracted.
Oh, yeah.
Your poor dad. I'm surprised you didn't have some kind of nervous breakdown with you helping him milk sometimes.
I'm surprised he didn't
you still
either.
You make his eye twitch sometimes. Even still
I'm
today,
I lived,
like
actually.
Even still today, you can make mm-hmm. his eye twitch. Have you seen that? Like,
no.
Like he'll like start to like
get, yeah. But everybody's get eye a, twitches.
Get it.
But everybody
gets
has eye
a nervous
twitches.
Tick around you,
Everybody I know has eye twitches. I
What's
thought that's just
common
a,
denominator there. Maybe we better
I thought
think
that
about
was
that
a natural state of being
oh,
for
yeah. I don't
people.
Twitch. It's weird.
Oh, people who twitch are weird?
Yeah.
You're going to go with that? There, you just offended like half our listening audience. All the twitchers are now going to be rotting in.
Oh, whatever.
I'm twitching. It's perfectly normal.
I didn't say it wasn't normal. I said I don't twitch.
You said it was weird.
Because your dad's weird.
My dad's weird?
Mm-hmm.
Dad's not weird.
Seriously.
No.
I love your dad.
I do too.
My dad's weird too.
Your dad is weird.
Go see.
What? Everybody else is weird except us.
No, I'm weird.
You're weird?
Yep.
I'm not weird. That's how I roll.
Yeah, you don't roll either.
So.
Yeah, I love that. I love the caveman commercial. They kill me. The Geico caveman guy, where he's like dancing. Remember the one I T-voted for you so that you could see it? And he's dancing. It was on the other day. Helen pauses it. Mommy, mommy. Mommy, come in here. I love this commercial. And I'm running. I'm like, what? And she's, it's so funny. And he's dancing. That's how I roll. That's funny.
Too funny. So, bitterness. Bitterness.
Bitter much?
Bitterness. Yeah.
Bitter I just much. Like to say that. Bitter much?
Okay, we done? Move on now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So, and then that. So, yeah, in bitterness, we've sort of been focusing on it. The new interim pastor, who is awesome.
Yeah.
He's like this old codger.
He is not.
He is older than dirt.
He is not. He's cool, and I love him.
He's old.
He's 72. He's younger than my dad. Be careful.
How old is dirt again? he's older than the next president. Yeah. Gotta be. That's for sure. bitterness.
Is that some foresight there? They're both foretelling.
Well, McCain's 70. And
oh, I Obama's, thought he was older than that.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. He's
70. This guy's 72. He's very old. He like went to college with Jimmy. What's his name? Graham.
Huh?
Billy Graham.
Oh yeah. That's right.
They went to like doctorate.
Because that's what he said. I'm like as I'm old as old. He says yeah. I'm old as dirt.
Yeah. Anyway.
He's funny.
He was making a reference to an iPhone the other day.
Yeah, and he said iPod. But
he said iPod. He says you're talking in your iPod. And I'm like, no, you're not really.
No, not really.
But
he tried.
That said, greatest pastor I've ever personally set and heard.
Better than Pastor Corey? No.
Yes.
Really? No, I like Pastor Corey.
I love Pastor Corey. Pastor Corey's number two. This guy reaches down in and tweaks something.
Yeah, he does.
Anyway, so he was talking about bitterness because our church is struggling.
No, but struggling. No, when you say that, people don't understand.
Yes.
Our church is 150 years old. Okay.
Never had a split.
Never had a split ever.
Nope.
Has 4,000 members, and our town only has 16,000 people in it. Okay.
Yep.
That's big. Yep. Okay. It's probably, the biggest church in the
probably
town.
Probably 1,500 active.
And there are like 300 members. Churches
in
our town. Okay.
So it's an exceptional church, and they are way focused on missions. We send out several missions
and
a year.
And when we say having...
It is our
struggles, our, we're talking about
a differing
of opinions.
We're talking
it's
about...
It's very different than the struggles that other churches go through. So you have to be very careful.
That's true.
Because
you have to look at it.
This isn't really a struggle.
For our church, this is a struggle.
Okay.
Because our struggle... our church is not used to this kind of thing. Mm-mm. Controversy and arguments and bitterness. And so, it's all basically over the fact that 2 years ago, we went...
4 years ago.
Really? It's been 4 years?
Oh, that we went to the service?
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. 2 years ago.
2 years ago? We went to, and we added, we already had two services, and we added a contemporary service, a purely contemporary service.
In the middle. So then we had two Sunday schools and three services.
Yep.
Two traditional, one contemporary. Two Sunday schools.
Well, two blended services and one...
Right.
They were called blended. They were very traditional at the time. But, so that's kind of what it was all about. And then...
And everybody was okay with that,
Our music guy who'd been there forever sort of retired over the whole deal. And we got a new one. And
he's
very young and he's very crazy. But he does the traditional service. I mean, the blended service, very traditional.
He's a great choir director, musical.
Great choir director, all that. And then he does the praise service with us. And so it was kind of, I kind of thought we were moving along, but the resentment and the bitterness was still there, still bubbling up. And that's what happens when you don't take care of that stuff. So anyway, we're getting ready to go back to two services. A, because our pastor has left,
Well, he resigned and moved to a bigger church.
Yeah. And so, which was not a confrontational.
No, it was perfectly fine. Anything. I mean, we didn't fire him
and he didn't quit. He just moved on.
It was fine.
And it was time for another one. But anyway, the point is that he's left, and the whole point of going to three was that we were out of room.
Right.
And we needed to add another service.
And
anyway,
we have a new sanctuary
We're going to build a new sanctuary, and then we're going to go back to two. And, well, that never worked out. That just because we went to three, all of a sudden we didn't need the extra sanctuary. So, you know, it's just one thing led to another. But the three was never supposed to be permanent. So we're going to go back to two because it wasn't fair to ask an interim pastor to preach three services or four services a day because we do one at night. It's long. Is this way too much information?
Yes.
The point is that we had to vote on going back to two services. Now, the bad part about going to two services is two major contentious points. One, when we go back to two, there won't be enough room for everybody. So there are some people who are saying that you're asking 100 people not to come to church because there's no place for them to sit. And the other argument is that then the 11 o'clock service will be a contemporary praise service, which has always been the
traditional
primary service. The 11 o'clock has always been that's the original worship service.
Right.
And so making it into the contemporary praise service,
that's a big deal.
Rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Can I say freaking? Big freaking deal. Oh, is that not a good word to use?
I don't know.
Is freaking a bad word?
Well, it's not a reference to anything, is it?
Well, no, because it's not a replacement for, you know, the other word that you would think. I never used it as a replacement for the F word.
I'm sure now that you've used it, somebody will write in and tell us. So, I don't know. It was a big deal. And so we had this vote. Well, before we had the vote, that was Sunday night, the pastor preached Sunday, the interim pastor, this Dr. Bill Anderson. Is his name.
Yes.
He preached Sunday morning and Sunday night. Now, the sermons are out on the website at ssfbc.org, I'm sorry, if you want to hear them. But the point is they were very good, and they were about bitterness, and they mm-hmm. were about basically what our church was struggling mm-hmm. with, although he addressed it personally, not so much as a church. He sort of had to
he didn't do it
infer
community.
That.
Yeah.
He didn't call anybody on the carpet.
No. He did very well.
Yes, but it was good. And he did it from the passage of Moses at Mirah. Mirah means bitterness. Mm-hmm. And he did it from that passage where they were fleeing the desert. They're hot. They're thirsty. They get to this oasis or this place where there's water.
It's bitter.
And the water's bitter. They can't drink it. And
then they start complaining and moaning and groaning.
Yeah. So Moses... Moses prays, and the Lord says, throw the tree in the water.
Right.
So throw the tree in the water becomes sweet. Now, his point is that you got to get Jesus in your bitter water, that the tree represents Christ, mm-hmm. and that you got to get Jesus in your bitter water, and it will be sweet, and he will use it for good. And I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very good point. He also talked about the 70 palms of the little oasis mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. they went to next, where there was like five springs and
right,
70
yeah.
palms, and they could sit in the shade and all that. Well, you can't get to 70 palms until you deal with the bitterness over here, you know, because you got to have the sweet water to get on. So it was very good. I thought it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about bitterness being a root.
Yes.
In you. Hey, well, the Bible.
What do you say? Rhizon is the
Bible
Hebrew
talks
word.
About it. Yeah, about bitterness
means
being
submerged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
you have to deal with that root of bitterness because it'll manifest in other ways. How many times do we see that?
A lot.
He was talking about marriage counseling and how he counsels these couples and mm-hmm. how they, you know, he says, now what, you know, what is it that started all this? And they're like, you know, and they always say, well, it sounds really stupid now that I said it. I guess it sounds really stupid. And he says, and I always think to myself, yeah, it does sound stupid, but I never tell them that. You know, but when you go back, you realize it was just so small and nothing, and you let it grow to become this huge thing. And, you know, if you would have dealt with it at the beginning, it wouldn't have gotten so huge.
And then me and you deal with it in a little different way, where you will tend to, you'll get offended by something, and you'll just go, I shouldn't, you know, I'm just going to forgive him for that, and you know, you just say I shouldn't be upset by that, or whatever, mm-hmm. and you just try to move on. You just try to move past it without mm-hmm. actually forgiving me, because you never actually told me about it. You never expressed that you were upset. I never got to apologize, and so you just moved on without actually dealing with it, and so it'll come out another way.
Well, sometimes it's because I don't even know that I'm irritated. I don't even give much thought to the fact that I'm irritated about it.
Well, but then a week later, I'm like, what are you mad at me about? You're like grapping at me about every little thing, and this is not that big. You know, this is a little small thing,
mm-hmm.
and you're all mad about it. What's going on? And you're like, I don't know. I'm just mad at you, and I don't even know why. You know, or I said, what are you mad at me about? I don't know. I have to think about it. You know,
that's what I always say. I don't know. I'll have to figure it out.
Then you have to backtrack and figure out what you're mad at me about, and then what you're upset about, and then we deal with it, and it's over.
Yeah.
She's a very forgiving person, and but I've seen that in the ministry too. I've seen people who get offended by something mm-hmm. or feel like they've been treated wrong in mm-hmm. a situation, and they don't say anything. They don't say anything at all. And then something else comes along, something little comes along. And all of a sudden it's World War III. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And you come to find out it was something that happened.
But the person dealing with it doesn't even realize that that's what's happening.
They're probably not.
They don't even know that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we all have to deal with that.
I mean, I don't.
We all have to deal with that. And we have to deal with the things as they come up. It's okay to forgive people. Okay, it's okay to love people and not be offended by things that you probably could be offended by. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But if you are offended, don't just swallow that bitterness because it will come out. Mm-hmm. It'll come out another way. Now, that said,
yes,
I guess we've covered that topic fairly well.
That's fine.
Let's go on to self-worth. We had a lady write in, and which I thought was very interesting, and had a different perspective on the whole self-worth mm-hmm. issue. We had a podcast a while back, for those of you who didn't hear it, where we talked about basing our worth on how God views us, not how we view ourselves.
Right.
And we had a lady write in.
Or man sees us, yeah.
Yeah, this happened to be a woman that brought this up. She said that it's not that easy, that we made it out to be so easy. And sometimes saying just, you just need to change the way you think can be very discouraging to somebody who struggles with self-worth issues. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to apologize for anybody who found that show discouraging.
It wasn't our intent, yeah.
Well, it wasn't our intent, of course. But I guess from our perspective, when I think about basing my worth on the Lord, because I think everybody deals with self-worth issues, not chronically. Mm-hmm. I mean, not like some people deal with it
constantly. Yeah.
Some people just deal with it occasionally mm-hmm. when they get fired or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. I mean, I've been fired and felt worthless, been divorced, felt worthless, mm-hmm. you know, and I had to deal with those issues. And I think, you know, and so then thinking about, you know, it's God's value on me, not my value on me, not my value of me, but how does the Lord see me? And keeping that perspective is what mm-hmm. helps me get through. So I didn't mean to imply that it was as easy as just changing the way you think.
Yes.
Because, of course, that's the hardest thing in the world to do. Mm-hmm. And we really can't do it, but Jesus can.
Well,
however, I do stand by my statement.
Yes.
That
it's still true.
No matter how hard it is to have that perspective.
Mm-hmm. It's still what you need to
it's
have.
It's still what needs to have, mm-hmm. to have to happen.
And it's funny that the Lord, I just brought to my attention, the Lord really showed me a little bit about that this week. I never realized that I had ever struggled with, you know, that issue more than just like normal, you know, stuff that girls deal with, you know, growing up. And just to maybe get a little personal here.
Uh-oh. Back.
Personal warning.
Do I need to play the Wilkerson alert?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Back in before in my previous life, as I refer to it, I dealt with self-worth that I didn't even know I dealt with it. And I realized that I needed healing from that because it caused me to have trust issues in a way that I didn't even know I had them. And which caused me to be very controlling all mm-hmm. aspects of life. And I mean, I'm already very a controlled person as it is. I mean, that's just part of my nature, you know, just part of who mm-hmm. I am. Like to have things a certain way and that kind of thing. But it made me realize that because I felt belittled and demeaned in my previous marriage and felt like I was just an object, and I'm not going to get into all that detail, but because there was pornography involved on his part, and it belittled me constantly, and I didn't realize how much that affected me until I was going through a Bible study and this was brought up again, and I realized that there was still healing that I needed to have because it was still having an effect on my self-worth and it coming out in different areas, which was strange. And it kind of freaked me out. I didn't expect it at all. So I think the Lord showed me that to have an understanding of what that email, that lady who wrote that in, what where other people are coming from too. Because sometimes I feel like I may come across like I don't understand hardship and those kind of things. And I think the Lord reminded me of this, that yes, it isn't as easy as you thought. But it is still true that my self-worth does come from the Lord. And I do need to look to Him for that, for the healing and the answers, rather than, you know, wallow in my issues, you know, that man caused me, or a man caused me. So anyway, I just thought that was worth sharing because, you know, I don't know how many women listen. I know this is more of a man podcast, but
No, it's very equal.
But, you know, I think talking about self-worth, I think that Satan attacks women in a different way than he attacks men. I mean, he has a special way attacking men, but he has a special way attacking women, and self-worth is definitely part of it. And attacking women in just making them feel worthless and unable to, you know, contribute because they're beat down so much. And I really think that Satan uses man to do that, and he does that himself as well. And I think that women, you know, need to really look to the Lord for their self-worth and for,
self-esteem.
Yeah. So that they're not looking to a man to fill it because man can't.
Yeah.
And other women can't either. You know, if you're always looking for some the next compliment, I mean, that's only for now.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to come from the Lord or it doesn't matter. It's just temporary.
The ultimate compliment is that He loved you so much that He gave up His only Son to have a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
That.
You're talking about like romantic. They talk about these romantic movies, you know. What's the romantic story? Oh, you know, a Braveheart where he runs off, you know, for this love of this woman and his country and all this. And, oh, it's so romantic, you know. But just think of what the Lord did for us.
That wasn't romantic at all.
It wasn't. But it wasn't.
I'm not being disemboweled for any woman.
No, but the story in, I mean, what happened to him was not romantic.
No.
Neither was what happened to the Lord romantic. But the love story was.
Yeah.
And is. So, there you have it.
There you have it. Well, let's visit a few of the new members on My Life Ministry.
All right.
Yeah. First of all, let's talk about Kev Bear. He's 34. He's from Evansville, Indiana.
Really?
Yes.
No way. That's where Jed's from.
Really?
You're kidding me.
No. Evansville, Indiana.
No, wait. No, he's from Crawfordsville.
Ah, there you go.
But Evansville.
Evansville.
When do I know that name? Is that
because
by Crawfordsville?
Kev Bear is from there.
No, but I know Evansville because somebody I know lives there. Who lives there? Does Tracy live there? I'll have to check. I think I have a friend who lives there.
Wow. Well, we could sick this person on them.
Yes, we can.
We can tell Kev Bear to go over to this person's house.
Go over to Tracy's house and say hello.
And say, hey, I listen to your friend on the internet. And so let's go
Is Crawfordsville
have a date?
Evansville? Why do I know Evansville? It's close to Wisconsin. I mean, it's only like several hours from where I grew up. Maybe that's why.
Maybe.
Maybe we had districts or something there for church.
You were from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Just so he knows.
Oh, okay.
Chicken wrestler.
Huh?
Yeah, they didn't put any information about themselves, so I'm not sure that's a real person.
Chicken.
I don't think anybody would name their kid Chicken Wrestler.
Chicken.
So.
You're going with that that's their avatar.
Mm-hmm. Emmanuel Anang. A-N-N-A-N-G.
Okay.
Okay. He posted a picture, but not much else about him.
Got a good
now,
name.
This one. Okay, let's get Daniel, who I don't even remember. That's Sam's brother.
Oh,
He joined.
Yeah, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. But the two big ones this week that joined that I want to talk about the most, because I have the most information about them, is Mama D.
Mama D.
Mama D from Spokane, Washington.
Yeah.
Salute. Anyway, she dressed up her page real pretty, and she's been married for 14 years. I guess to the same guy. hoping. She's got two kids. She's got a little girl at 9 years old and a little boy at 7 years old.
Hmm.
So, and she's hanging around and talking and having a good time. So,
cool.
She's got a very pretty,
welcome,
pretty page on the Ning site at mylifeministries.ning.com.
Let me see. I want to see.
Oh, okay, sure.
Let me see.
You're all into decorating, so you'll like this. Can you see that?
Ooh.
Isn't that pretty?
It's pretty.
Yeah, she's got a little lace around the edges, little doilies. Yeah.
Hmm. Hey, there's Gracie.
Yeah, Gracie's talking to her and Jen's talking to her.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
There you go. Okay, and the other one I wanted to talk about is James Kinison. James Kinison is a children's minister who from Kansas City, Missouri,
mm-hmm.
and he has he's sort of like us. Year.
Hey, we can say hi.
He's sort of like us. He's one of these people who has let the ministry like take over their entire life.
That's us.
Well, he has three podcasts. How many podcasts do I have? He has three podcasts, and he has a comic. He does a few comics. He doesn't have a comic strip like I have that goes out at twice a week. But he has a few comics that he's done. He's a very funny man. He has said that. He says, I wish my name was Skippy. That's
funny.
His thing there. And he's posted a song for us, which I tried to play last week, which wouldn't play, which he says will play now.
Oh, so okay.
We're going to see if it'll play now. It's real going around and around. There it goes. Hey, listen. Here we go.
Hey, it worked.
Y'all ready to kick it? This is JoJo the
The monkeys and the chickens, they do a little dance, and every time they do it, everybody claps.
This is JoJo the clown.
Oh, the clown.
I told you about JoJo.
Yeah.
This is him
Did
singing
you say
a song.
That on air? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Gracie was here when we talked about that.
It was a clown who dated this girl,
who fell in love
with this girl, he found out she was a clown. And then he found out she was a rodeo clown.
Yeah, and that didn't work out.
And that was
out.
Very sad. Yeah. And,
sad clown.
And he says we should not be unequally choked.
I think maybe you did talk about that when Gracie and John were here.
It's very funny. Anyway, this is his song.
Okay.
Wish that I could do it so they could clap for me, but I cannot do the monkey chicken dance, you see. Is it because I'm not like a monkey? Is it because I don't have a tail? Is it because I wear shirts and pants and shoes? Is it because I'm not covered with hair? The monkeys and the chickens, they do a little dance, and every time they do it, everybody claps. I wish that I could do it so they could clap for me, but I cannot do the monkey chicken dance, you see. Is it because...
Sounds like Adam Sandler.
He does sound a little like Adam Sandler when he does
that. I feel like I should be, singing to the what is it, his Saturday Night Live that he always does, the Jewish Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, he's got that sort of voice, but it's a little different. It's a little different. So the song has a happy ending, so I kind of skipped forward.
Oh, okay.
Monkeys and those chickens taught me their little dance. Now every time I do it, everybody claps. I'm glad that I can do it, cause now they clap for me, cause I can do the monkey chicken dance, you see. Oh, those monkeys and those chickens taught me their little dance. Now every time I do it, everybody claps. I'm glad.
Okay. Are you as glad as I am that it's over?
Yep.
We don't have time for calls.
Speaking that it's over,
we
it's
don't
over.
Have time for calls.
It's over. Oh, calls tomorrow.
To play.
What day is it today?
Thursday.
Oh, already?
Or is it Wednesday?
I don't know.
I think it's Wednesday.
I don't remember. We said what it was at the beginning of the show, and I don't remember.
Well, if we said what it was at the beginning of the show, then it's Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
That's how I keep track.
Ooh.
But you asked me twice, so my clock, my little ticker had already clicked over.
Oh.
Because you'd asked me, so I clicked it over.
Then you clicked it over. Yeah. You have a ticker?
Clicker.
Okay.
I have a tick in my clicker. Gotta go to the doctor and have it removed. Yeah, you know, if you take a pen and you heat it up real hot and you put it on the butt of the tick, then it'll back out. It'll back out, and then you can't just pull a tick off because it'll leave the head in the skin. Do you know?
No, that's a myth. That's not a myth.
That is not a myth.
That
is not a myth. If you pull a tick off of you, and the head will stay in you, and it will get infected.
No,
and
it says you're supposed to dig it out. You're not supposed to burn it or anything. You're supposed to get in there and dig it out and pull the head out.
Well, yeah, you can grab a hold of it if you grab a hold of it. But if you've been there for a little while, it'll be too big and you can't grab a hold of the head.
No.
Because it'll be full of blood.
Then you're supposed to go to the doctor.
My parents never went to the doctor. They pulled him. They put the little hot pin on there and pulled them suckers out. They just, if you put the hot pin on their butt, they'll just back out. They'll just fall off. Hmm. And you step on them.
Interesting. That's nice.
Why are you talking about this myth?
Because I read a whole article about
tickology.
Tickology.
Well, I learned my tickology from my mama.
I don't even know where I read that.
I don't know either. That's interesting. I'll have to look it up on Snopes. But I learned tickology from my mama.
Your mama?
My mama. Because we had ticks back in the woods when I lived down at the White Oak Creek bottom down there. Mm-hmm. We had ticks. They were the size of like...
Oh, at least, I'm sure. They were like giant scorpions.
We had scorpions, too.
Yeah,
sure
that these ticks were huge.
They were huge.
Yeah, like the size of a cat.
No. That would be silly. How would they get on a cat if they were the size of a cat?
Uh-huh.
No, they were like the size of cockroaches. They were huge.
Like that mouse that was laying at my door today. That was Joy Joy left. Did you see the mouse?
You said it was a baby mouse.
Well, then how did you see it?
No, you
how
said
do you
it
know
was
it was itty bitty.
Because you told
this
me.
Big.
That is itty bitty.
And Helen.
They can't see that in a microphone.
I know. And Helen.
Yes.
And Helen scooped it up with a cup and threw it away.
Good for Helen.
Mm-hmm.
She had to clean up after
she
her
said,
Joy.
Good job, Joy Joy.
Good job, Joy.
She calls her Joy Joy.
Joy Joy.
Joy Joy.
Joy Joy's sweet.
She's a good kitty cat.
All right. Can we end the show now?
I tried a couple minutes ago.
You were talking
and
about.
And then you got into tickology.
Ticks. Did ever tell you I got the
tick? No, I.
They were
at stop right now.
About
no, ick. Moving right along. Talk about
what
vomit boy.
What?
I'm gonna be vomit girl because I'm gonna vomit on you if you talk about that story again. Nobody
ticks?
Wants to know about that story.
Okay.
They don't want to know that about you.
Okay.
No.
All right.
There comes a time when the line has to be drawn and you can't step over it.
I'm not stepping over.
Okay. You can't jump over it or run over it.
I'm all about respecting the line.
Yeah, whatever.
This is me respecting the line.
What
you
have I said?
Just the line.
This is for respecting the line. This is for Gracie. Line. Did you hear that? That was Brad going over the line. You got to hear that?
But I'm not going over the line. That wasn't me. That was your pen hitting the door because I'm way over here.
That's
still
good.
Behind the line.
Stay behind the
line. I'm behind the line.
Okay.
God.
Brad's going to stay behind the line, and I'm going to go to bed. So, are you going to play the music for me? Mr.
What?
Behind
I'm behind the line.
Line.
The music's on the other side of the line.
Bios con Dios, everybody.
Bios con Dios.
Two blind squirrels learn gooder than pie.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8 it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us, in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.